Hi there, welcome to the Osler Podcast. My name's Todd Fraser and I'm here with another episode from the 21st Annual ANZIC CTG Conference from Noosa, Australia. With me today is Glenn Eastwood. Glenn is the Chief Investigator of the TAME Cardiac Arrest Trial, which seeks to explore the impact of targeted mild therapeutic hypercarbia on outcomes in resuscitated patients following cardiac arrest. Glenn, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, delighted to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So your study is looking at the injured brain after a hypoxic an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. What's the pathology that's going on for the brain after resuscitation from a cardiac arrest?
Yeah, shortly after resuscitation, the brain is experiencing low blood flow and low oxygen levels. It's also in a state of low perfusion because it's gone from a state of no flow to low flow and then trying to get back to normal flow. And that's that transition from no flow, low flow, that's very disturbing to the brain and not getting the oxygen or the perfusion that it needs.
So despite the fact that you've been resuscitated and may even have normal hemodynamic markers, your brain's still being underperfused.
That's correct. There is some good evidence to show that out to day one and day two, the brain is still hypoperfused and hypooxygenated after adequate return of circulation or blood pressure, as you were mentioning.
And what impacts does that have metabolically, structurally? How does that impact the brain?
So the fluid, the brain itself, it needs oxygen and needs to get rid of waste, and not having enough oxygen delivered or the ability to get rid of it, the state of the brain is in a very dynamic environment and not one conducive to normal function. So one would hope that by optimising blood flow and the delivery of oxygen, that the injured brain can get what it needs sooner rather than later.
So is this about impaired autoregulation? Is it possible that by trying to enhance blood flow, for example, that you could overdo it as well?
Yeah, impaired autoregulation is an important concept in managing an injured brain. The injured brain following cardiac arrest, though, does appear to still have an intact autoregulation mechanism, right. So much so that it does respond to changes in arterial carbon dioxide. And that's the primary target of the TAME trial, which is how can we best manipulate, manage and target a higher level of carbon dioxide, because there is evidence to show that the reactivity of the brain blood vessels is intact after cardiac arrest.
So as you were saying, TAME is about exploring whether hypercarbia, a mild form of hypercarbia, can actually be of benefit to the brain. What's the theory behind this?
Yeah, the theory is in relation to enhancing or utilising the body's normal response to a hypercarbic state, yep, which is to increase blood flow and cause vasoconstriction of the cerebral arteries. So you have improved arterial blood flow post-cardiac arrest, and by doing so, we're moving the brain from a low or low normal state up into a normal state of blood flow to the brain and yep, blood oxygen delivery to the brain.
Yep. So there's presumably some demographic data or population-based data to support this theory?
Yeah, the TAME program of research actually goes back to 2011, and from that time we looked at the largest database that we could at the time, the Australian and New Zealand Adult Patient Database, and we were able to see an association between the level of arterial carbon dioxide in the blood and outcomes in survivors following out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, and that showed that the higher levels of carbon dioxide those exposed to a higher level of carbon dioxide had a greater likelihood of discharge home. And then following that hypothesis through, we did the CCC trial that then showed safety, feasibility, and attenuation of brain injury biomarkers, all supporting hypercapnia as a potential therapeutic target for these patients.
So what's the evidence base thus far? It's the population data and then also the CCC trial?
Yeah, not only from the work that we've done in our group, but there's other work done by other interested cardiac arrest investigators through North America, Scandinavia, and into Europe, that have again showed that the ability or the potential to target slightly higher than CO2 for a short period of time in the early post-resuscitation phase could lead to improved outcomes. So, yes, from our group, but reassuringly, other signals leading to similar direction for hypercapnia in other populations.
So the TAME trial is ongoing at the moment. Can you tell us about the structure of the trial and how that all works for those who don't know?
Well, TAME is a multi-centre, multinational, randomised controlled trial. We've had endorsement by the Australian Intensive Care Clinical Trial Group, endorsement by the Irish Critical Care Clinical Trial Network, and we are supported by AusRoc also, which is the Australian Resuscitation Outcomes Consortium. And then pleasingly, we've been able to receive funding from the NHMRC, so our national body in Australia, and also the Irish Health Research Board of Ireland. So it's a wonderful multi-centre, multi-faceted study that's got wonderful collaborations and built on collaborations in sites around the world. To date, we've been recruiting for 1 year, and we have 95 patients currently enrolled from 20 sites in 7 countries. And it's all going to be up from here. Many sites are just about to come on board. I've got contracts and ethics approval in many regions. So despite having a nice steady recruitment, I think we're going to skyrocket this year.
So what are you targeting? How many patients is the study planning for?
Yeah, TAME is going to be recruiting 1,700 adult resuscitated cardiac arrest patients that are admitted to the intensive care unit. So although we have 95, there is plenty of time to go but in the recruitment, but I think it's going to be pretty steady. And our recruitment target is to detect an 8% difference in the neurological outcome determined by the Glasgow Outcome Scale extended method in survivors. So we are hoping to see a difference in that particular sample size for the neurological outcome.
Okay. So what sort of patients are we talking about? Presumably they've been resuscitated from cardiac arrest for all-comer cardiac arrest, or are there specific groups that you're looking at?
It's a specific cardiac event.
Yep.
We're excluding those who have known sort of cardiac arrests of other causes. Those might be drug overdose, drowning,
yep,
respiratory or anaphylaxis reasons, because they in themselves have specific treatments and also a known cause. So it's really trying to find adult out-of-hospital cardiac arrest patients with a primary cardiac origin or unknown cause where you really don't know why they would be eligible to be enrolled.
And presumably they're similar to the hypothermia trials where they need to be unconscious despite having return of normal circulation and those sorts of things?
Yes, it's the unconscious patient who's eligible for intensive care admission without restriction at the time,
mm-hmm,
that's recruited quite quickly. So we're aiming for a recruitment window of within 3 hours of return of spontaneous circulation. That's the key. It's really the adult out-of-hospital cardiac arrest patient within 3 hours of ROSC, because the idea with trials, be it cardiac arrest or other acute care trials, is early intervention. And by having 3 hours, we hope to get the right patient in and get the therapy started.
And so those patients will be then randomised to normal care versus low-level hypercapnia, is that right?
True. So they're allocated to the normocapnic arm, which is a target of 35 to 45 millimetres of mercury,
yep,
in arterial measurements, or mild hypercapnia, which is 50 to 55 millimetres of mercury. And those targets apply for 24 hours following randomisation, and after that period, the clinician can determine their targeted arterial carbon dioxide level.
Yep. So obviously the CO2 is something that tends to fluctuate during the course of somebody's ICU admission. Mm. How do you measure the ability of the treating clinician to keep it within those ranges? What sort of surveillance do you do?
If I just take you a quick step back, they could be enrolled quickly and monitored and managed via end-tidal CO2,
yep,
with correction and targeting via arterial blood gases once they enter the intensive care unit. It's really, we will be looking at the data that's entered as it comes in, and we're asking sites to perform and record arterial blood gases 4 hourly for, mm-hmm, the first 24 hours.
Yep.
So when we look at that data, we'll be able to see the compliance with reaching the target, how long it takes to get to target, and if it's possible to stay there for as long as possible. So,
yep,
we'll be able to help clinicians by monitoring their practice remotely. But one would urge that You do need to sedate these patients to control their respiratory rate, and you may need to lower the respiratory rate a little more than you may do just to get the arterial carbon dioxide level up.
Yeah.
We have a safety exclusion for patients who have severe metabolic acidosis. We know this group does come in quite acidotic, and we would urge clinicians to correct acidosis before targeting the hypercapnic group or hypercapnic range, because we don't want to make things worse potentially.
Right. So you're looking at the Glasgow Outcome Scale extended. Yes. Can you tell us about that marker and how it relates to outcomes, why you've chosen that one for a particular outcome?
The GOSE is a well-validated tool for post-cardiac arrest clinical trials. So we're following on from previous research, which will not only allow us to know what we find, but reflect it to other trials. We're using the dichotomy of greater than, the GOSE is an 8-level scale, mm-hmm. and we've divided it into favourable or unfavourable, and we're looking at the favourable group, which would be groups 5, 6, 7 and 8, and looking at the neurological outcome in survivors there. So it's a well-validated tool used in cardiac arrest trials. We used it in our pilot study, so we have something to justify why we've used it, as well based on what we saw in our pilot. Yeah.
So you're also looking at a number of other functional outcome markers. Some of them will be familiar to our mm-hmm. users and some aren't. So what are the other sort of markers that you're using?
Yeah, the range of secondary neurological and functional outcome measures can be performed over the phone with a surrogate. These measures include the modified Rankin scale, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Scale, the Informant Questionnaire on Cognitive Decline, which is an IQ code. We also are doing some really more dexterity-based studies looking at the Symbol Digital Modalities Test, 30-second chair test, and the more commonly known EQ5D. So all of these neurological assessments are trying to pinpoint which particular executive functions do patients lose after cardiac arrest, and by doing that we're wishing to know how can we best then support various patients in their rehabilitation and getting back to caring and being loved.
Now just finally, there's an health economics review as part of your study too, isn't there, which is, you know, almost a mandatory component of research, you know, phase 3 trials these days. Can you tell us about that and what you'll be looking for?
True. Caring for anyone in the acute care setting is expensive. Evaluating therapies that we can do to improve outcomes is important, but it does come at a cost. So although the intervention for TAME is cost-free, it's literally just altering the respiratory rate on a ventilator, there may be ancillary benefits financially for hospitals and units, and then also for this community and then national budgets for health. We've know that the average cost for a cardiac arrest patient admitted to the unit can be around $150,000 Australian, so this is not an insignificant amount. And we'll be looking at healthcare utilisation, so time in hospital, coming back to hospital, and then sort of longer term care in our health economic analysis.
Are you still looking for sites?
We are always welcoming invitations from sites. We'll try to work with them to ensure that they can screen and get reward for effort, so we don't want them to waste effort in the sense of, do they see enough patients, do they feel that they can and apply the intervention fairly and consistently, how will we best work with them for long-term follow-up. So sites are always welcome. We have a wonderful group of sites in Australia and New Zealand already started, wonderful sites in Ireland, UK, Scandinavia, ready to come on board along with our colleagues in France and the Netherlands and Belgium. So it's really going to turn into a multinational study, but naturally, love to hear from more people.
If people are out there and listening to this podcast and are interested, how do they get in touch?
So you can get in touch with me via email, glenn@monash.edu. Otherwise, via the ANZIC Research Centre website, you'll find TAME there. Or a quick Google search will get to me.
Fantastic. Glenn, thanks very much for your time on the podcast today.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. For more great episodes just like this, visit our websites at osler.force.com.